Welcome to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. I'm Dave Clark, here's Steve Palmer. What a time to be alive, what a time to be English, Steve, as well.
Absolutely, Dave. There's a real feel-good factor around the place now, isn't there? We had a couple of big prize places last week to add to that feel-good factor, but England is the main story. I mean, I thought that was the greatest World Cup performance I've ever seen from an England side. You know, just great character, great resilience. Everything was against them, wasn't it, Dave? You know, the ref might as well have been wearing a Mexico shirt. It was, you know, it was so difficult to win in those circumstances, wasn't it? I thought they'd lose. I was so pessimistic before the game, but I've never been so delighted to be wrong. You know, such a gutsy performance from the Three Lions.
Gutsy indeed. I see you're rocking the Three Lions on the shirt again. I'm confident we're going to go by Norway, and I'll be wearing mine next week.
Yeah. I think we're going to go by Norway. I think Mexico away is as tough as it's going to get. I mean, yeah, that's such an intimidating atmosphere, wasn't it, Dave? And to come through that, for the first time, I'm starting to think we're capable of actually winning the whole thing now. I think, as you say, I think we'll be too good for Norway, and then perhaps scrape past the argy bargies in the semi-final, and then probably lose in the final to France or Spain. But yeah, it's going to be a great adventure, Dave.
It is indeed. Yeah, Rice will have Odegaard in his pocket, I fancy. And listen, I promise that we'll try and shoehorn a little bit of golf chat into the show for you. It's a big week and a big time in the world of golf. The Scottish Open always precedes the Open, so big times ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good little joke you've done there, Dave, because it is hard to get away from the football, isn't it? It's hard to concentrate on the golf. This is a massive fortnight of golf. We've got a big tournament this week with the Scottish Open, and then the Open Championship next week, the biggest golf tournament the whole year. And, you know, it's crazy that the final round of the Open Championship is on potentially the World Cup final day. So, yeah, we've got a lot of, we must stay focused on the golf. You know, we must be professional. I mean, I tried, my friends did me a big favour by us not going down the pub on. I don't know where you watched the game, Dave, but obviously that kickoff time, absolutely brutal for old men with responsibilities. I mean, you know, all my peer group, similar age to me, and, you know, you've all got work commitments, you've all got family commitments. So 2 a.m. kickoff in the end, in the middle of the night, and, most of my friends just said, no, I can't possibly go out, So, you know, I'm easily led, Dave. If someone had really sort of had a rallying cry to get us down, they would have been down there. But the good news for the Sweet Spotters is I was on my sofa watching the game, just one eye open. I thought I was dreaming at times. I've never seen England, produce that. I mean, Thomas Tuchel's got to take a lot of credit. So you're going to struggle to get me back on track on the golf. But I stayed at home and watched it, and then got some sleep, and then watched it with the kids in the morning before they went to school.
Yeah, that's what game. I did as well. Yeah,
the full game is great because I wouldn't have put them through that if they lost, but knowing that they were going to win, and they both went to school absolutely deliriously happy. So these are good times, Dave. These, as you say, good time to be alive.
Well, I can bring you back to the golf with a little pat on the back. Two places, one at a big price last week. We'll get onto the specifics of the tournament. But as I've said to you before, you know, golf punting is very, very tough. You know, if you can just get players in the frame and wipe your mouth and go again, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one in each, and we needed it because the shorter price selections we had didn't do so well. So, as you say, stay in the game. Yeah, be resilient like the England players, and I feel like we're going to have a good fortnight. I'm really feeding off this England side, and I'm feeling pretty confident about this week and next.
Marvellous. Right, so you're of course here on The Sweet Spot. We are sponsored by SBK. Jump onto the website, BetSBK. They're of course the betting partners of the DP World Tour as well, so your place to go for all your golf bets. You get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet with SBK. So there's a wonderful new customer offer. You get two free £10 golf bets, which will be credited after the qualifying bet settles. So bets 20, get 60 in free bets there. Jump onto the website, betsbk.com, gamble aware. Terms and conditions, of course, apply as ever. And of course, there will be the winning bonus as well on top, which we'll touch on a little bit later on with SBK. Let's look back then before we look ahead. And two wild finishes, crazy finishes this week. We'll start with the BMW first. South African Michael Hollick doing the business. Another maiden winner. Seemed to get one every single week, Steve. Needed an eagle. He was bold, he was brave on 18, made the green in two, and then sunk an absolute beauty from 20 feet.
Yeah, and unfortunately, bookmakers cheering his every move. I mean, this was a 500-1 chance, Dave. You know, I don't like seeing 500-1 chances win. You're absolute skinner for the bookies. He was world number 348 going into last week. He's rocketed up 200 places now. He's 148th in the world rankings. He's had four Sunshine Tour victories on his CV, but not much form outside of South Africa. A maiden title, as you say, but at the age of 39. And this is a player that nearly quit golf, Dave, a few years ago. You know, he felt like his professional career wasn't going anywhere and nearly jacked it in, then started winning on the Sunshine Tour. So, yeah, big night for Hollick on Sunday night. No doubt had a few beers. And, yeah, really disappointed for our one of our commentators. We've got a regular commentator, Neil McClelland, who you must have noticed him. He comes in every week with his dream two balls.
Yeah.
He's got a great imagination. And we were so close on in round three because Brad Dalkey was playing well. I don't know if you noticed. And he was one group out from partnering Michael Hollick in round three. So you nearly had Dalkey Hollick two ball in round three. So I'm sure Neil was following that. But, yeah, the punting community weren't laughing at all, Dave. And, yeah, it's one of those results we just got to sort of accept was impossible.
No, House wins, that's for sure. 18 under par. Your man, Guillemot de Gay, 12 under par, six shots back, but a place at a big price.
Yeah, tied fourth with one other player. So if you took the massive prices for each way top five, then you got a full place return. Yeah, I went more conservative route, got to 12 places, which was 90-1, but he was 150-1 out there for five places. I mean, he's a really good-looking player, Dave. Yeah, lovely swing. Reminds me a bit of Bud Cawley, who won the other day in Canada. Yeah, similar swing to Bud Cawley, similar stature to Bud Cawley. I think Guillemot de Gay will become a DP World Tour champion fairly soon. He's actually playing in the States this week in the ISCO Championship. But, yeah, delighted for Guillemot de Gay. Felt for Henny de Plessis. Henny de Plessis. Oh my God, Henny de Plessis backers must have needed a
can you just say it one more time for me?
I don't even think that's the correct pronunciation. I like that one. Henny de Plessis. I think it's a silent S, the last one, Henny de Plessis. But yeah, I just like getting the tongue involved. Henny de Plessis. Bogey at 17, par 5 at 18.
Brutal.
Waved his fellow South African past. So I felt for them. Bernd Wiesberger, Dave. I mean, you must have noticed him. He's just one of the best players on the DP World Tour now. Yeah, astonishingly bad performance in the Italian Open previously when we were on him. Yeah, it was a big shock that. But, everyone can have a bad week. He finished third last week. Just a danger in every DP World Tour event he tees up in, I'd say.
Yeah, but what I liked about the winner is that he was a maiden winner, but he's tried to win, hasn't he? Yeah. I know he needed the eagle to win. A birdie would have got him into a playoff, obviously. But he's not won on the DP World Tour before, and he's just gone big dog onto the green, sink the putt from 20 feet as well, trying to win the golf tour. And we talk about, you know, when you're whittling down your shortlist, you want players that are going to try and win at the end and not wilt and fold.
I mate, you're absolutely right, Dave. It was courageous in that respect because this is a fella that hasn't won fortunes. The runner-up check would have been a nice healthy one for him. You know, bigger than he's used to getting. I thought it was incredibly brave and bold.
Could have been foolish if he'd stuck it in a drink, to be fair.
Well, it was the performance of an alcoholic. Because he had a lot of Dutch courage inside in there, didn't he? It's two really courageous shots. I'm not suggesting for one second he was drinking, but it was a bold play, as you say. And I was pleased for him. It's hard not to be pleased for him. Yeah, there was a lot of South Africans on that leaderboard. Hollick said it reminded him a lot of his courses back home in Durban, but I just want to mention before we move on, Jaden Schaper, who's one of the South Africans that was on that leaderboard starting on. You know, Schaper fans, of which obviously I am, a bit alarmed by recent performances. He opened with a 64 last week.
Yeah, he was up there, wasn't he? Early doors.
Yeah, you thought Jaden was back. Can I'll test you, Dave. Where do you think he finished in the end? You know, he opened with a 64.
He wasn't on the leaderboard, and I'm sure he made the cut. What happened? But where did he finish?
Tied 59th. So he's gone 64, 73, 75, 78. Every day he got worse. And, Jaden Schaper's played in a couple of majors recently and missed the cut. I just worry.
Any noise, injury, anything?
He has had a few niggles, yeah. He had a long break. He had a long break and he's had a few niggles. But I thought he'd come back. I thought he'd come back fully fit. I'll have to keep an eye on him. But he is a player that we know
he raced to the top of the race to Dubai early doors, and he will always be respected in the market when he tees it up. So if there needs to be a squiggle next to his name, then so be it.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to put a squiggle yet, but just keeping a close eye on James Schaefer. He needs to stop the rot fairly soon, I'd say.
Right, anything or anyone else to add from the BMW?
No, let's get to a fascinating John Deere Classic.
Yeah, an absolute thriller again here. Chris Gotterup doing the business. A third PGA Tour win of the season. 62 on Sunday, which featured 9 birdies as well. And listen, it's always beautiful to see a family member on the bag as well. Brother Patrick doing the caddy. Steve, we like that one as well?
Yeah, they're both really chilled out, aren't they? I mean, the thing I like most about Chris Gotterup is he's such a chilled dude, isn't he? Doesn't get ruffled, and he's won so many tournaments now with these fine around charges. He's one of my favorite words, but he's a swashbuckling golfer, isn't he? And we were worried about his wedges last week. He's not got much finesse with his wedges, but the way he drives the ball, he didn't really need to worry too much. He got so close to so many greens. He's just a phenomenal driver. He took that course apart with driving and putting. His approach play was rubbish. His approach play stats. That's what we were worried about. His wedges were rubbish when he hit them, but it didn't matter because his driving was absolutely. His driving is phenomenally good, and he had a good week with a putter. And that's he's a 5-time PGA Tour champion at the age of 26. That is really good going. The bookies were right. I was questioning who should be favourite last week. We'll come to the fella that flopped spectacularly last week, but Gotterup was a general 14-1 favourite. The bookies were right to respect him.
Carnage though in running. My postman Graham was on, so I was following Lucy. I didn't have a horse in the race, if you like, on Sunday. But those at the front of the market were those that kind of still had holes to play and were expected to do the business, and got right. Was a big price. But he got the job done. He was 20 under par. Max Homer will start with, runner-up, an each-way play from yourself. Nice to see him back on the leaderboard.
Yeah, he went out the 18th hole with a chance. A birdie there, and we're in the playoff in the end. I was really hopeful. He was very positive on that final hole, and it just went through the green. He couldn't make the putt, but Max Homer started last week at 66-1. I got 40-1 for 12 places. I like the 12 places market. 40-1, 12 places for such a quality player on the comeback trail. Slowly but surely getting back to the game which made him a star. Fine around 64. It was a steady all-round performance. If you look at his stats, Dave, he did everything well. So, really strong start to life with a new caddy. Him and John Ellis are going to be a good combination, I think. I think he's finally got a caddy that he's going to work well with. I think the progress will continue. This is a former world number 5. Keep him on your side.
Maybe, I don't know, Steve. Perhaps I'm just a greedy chap, but I'm all for, I understand, getting the more places, get as many places as you can. But when you pull the trigger at 40s and there's 66 out there, do you not think, if he wins, I'm missing out on sort of 26 times my stake?
No, I think it's a more sensible investment. In my younger days, I mean, you're a bit younger than me, Dave. I used to be a cavalier in my younger days. win only everything. I thought.
Well, not win only, but, are those extra places worth losing 26 points?
I would say they are now. Because keeping yourself in.
Well, he's finished second, if he finished 10th, then all day long.
Yeah. The result, it dictates what you should have done, really, doesn't it?
But does it? Yeah, I suppose it gives you that a little bit of a comfort blanket on a Sunday, right? That you can, if it goes wrong, which it invariably does for me on a Sunday, you kind of got a little bit of extra wiggle room, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how quickly a player can go from second to 13th in the blink of an eye. And as I've got older, I've become more aware of the benefits of each way betting. And the benefits of watching an England game on your sofa rather than going down the pub and waking up.
Don't be a greedy Greg. Is that what you're telling me?
Don't be a greedy Greg. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you, Dave. I had your wife on the phone the other day talking about the chocolate eclairs. There was four. They bought 4 chocolate eclairs. They went in the fridge. She went to look and there was only one left. And this was less than 24 hours later and questions were being asked about you, Dave. So try to be less greedy. That's what I'd say.
Okay. Right. They're filling wreckers, them Eclairs. Stay away from them. They are no good at all. Right, anyone else? Yes, of course, Ben Coles. Let's talk about.
Well, there's two. Well, there's actually three players I'd like to,
right,
to talk about.
Because it was carnage on the Sunday. Gosser up for a long time didn't look like the likely winner.
No, and the likely winner looked like Ben Coles. And he tied third, and you think, oh, respectable performance. So why is he coming off the course virtually in tears, a completely broken man? Because, you know, he threw the golf tournament away.
Yeah.
You know, par five, and then a double bogey to finish. You know, this is a five-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour. You know, he's a prolific winner at that level, but he just cannot get over the line on the PGA Tour. And he's had two really spectacular final hole collapses when he's been in with a great chance. So this is a maiden at the age of 36. You know, he can take inspiration from Michael Hollick, who getting the job done at 39. But, you know, you've got to be careful with Ben Coles now. He clearly finds it difficult to go over the line. And that was a really poor shot on the final hole. Ben Coles, I've got no real interest in him going forward. I wish him well. But, obviously Jackson Coivin, we've got an enormous amount to discuss about Jackson Coivin. You know, obviously an absolute hammer blow. I mean, producer.
But we were trying to make some sort of movement into get him into going off favourite. But he certainly didn't justify that.
No. I mean, the worst element of this is that producer Belle had her first ever golf bet last week, and I think she's probably scarred for life now.
Lost, yeah.
I feel very, very bad about that. But he ran lame, Dave. We must make this point, because it's a very important point to make with regards to the ISCO Championship. You like your greyhounds, Dave. This Jackson Coivin went off lame, Dave. We've got a lot to discuss about Jackson Coivin. He's, as you say, hot favourite for the ISCO Championship this week, which suggests bookmakers not fully aware of the situation. You know, I thought when he was slow out the gates, that was first tournament nerves, Dave. You know, I was really concerned when the draw came out and he was paired with Jordan Spieth. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Because I thought there's hardly anyone in this field that are going to sort of intimidate a newcomer. You know, you're not going to be starstruck by hardly anyone in this field. It's probably Jordan Spieth, probably the only one that could have created a bit of tension in Jackson Coivin. So when he slow out the gates, I think it's down to that. But then when the physio came onto the course on the Friday, started taping up his back and his neck. He's had right shoulder and neck pain during the tournament, and the physio was on him round.
Yeah,
the physio was on him round two, taping up his neck, and I was like, there didn't seem to be any problem with him in the US Open. So his previous start with the US Open, he looked really good. So I think we were really unlucky. Producer Bell must listen to this. I think we were really unlucky with a suddenly developing injury, you know, an injury that came during the John Deere Classic, because he wasn't swinging freely because of this neck issue. So hope Bell hasn't been put off golf betting for life, and I hope the punting community generally has not been put off Jackson Coivin, because when he gets fit again, this lad will show his class. I was obviously hugely disappointed last week. I suffered more than anyone, trust me. You know, he will be back, he's not in mistaken plan this week for that very reason.
Well, I was going to say, is there any noise at the camp on the extent of the injury? What's going on?
Obviously he's going to tee off less than a week from that Friday where the physio's on taping him up. I'm not going to be interested. Yeah, it's midway through the second round. Obviously not many people tuning into the John Deere Classic. Not many people seem to know about that. Given the price he's going off at this week. So, yeah, I mean, he got upstaged last week, Dave, by Preston Stout. I mean, you know, I follow the amateur game, and Jackson Coivin has been the outstanding amateur this year and last year. But Preston Stout is probably the second best. And Preston Stout is still an amateur. And he finished 15th last week as an amateur, and he's playing again this week. Preston Stout is of more interest than Jackson Coivin this week, funnily enough. because he's fully fit. But yeah, I apologise for hyping up Jackson Coivin, but I do feel that the hype will be justified in the months to come.
Injuries. Listen, we can't account for injuries. That is the perils of punting, I'm afraid. Shall we move on?
Yes, sir.
Right, let's get to it then. We are going to start with the Scottish Open, which is at the Renaissance Club. Been there since 2019. Tell us about the tracks, Steve. We're 1 week away from the Open, so everyone has travelled over. Good field, everyone limbering up.
Yep, it's in North Berwick, East Lothian, Scotland. 7,282 yards, par 70, 3 par 5s, 10 par 4s, 5 par 3s, a semi-links. Yeah, this is a coastal track, but there are some trees in play. The Renaissance opened in 2008, made its Scottish Open debut in 2019. It's hosted every year since. Heavily contoured greens are the main defence of the course, I'd say. A mixture of sunshine and clouds in the forecast. Relatively calm sky. So I think scoring will be low this week. I think a strong short game is the greatest asset you can have. You know, playing well on and around these tricky greens is the key to success. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by 7:15 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
7:15. A very obvious statement, but the stats lend towards good putting here, Steve.
Yeah, I think a short game is the key to success. And all my men have got good short games. We've got four in the staking plan, Dave. I noticed Jacob Skov Olesen was the first alternate when I was analysing this tournament, and I was keeping a beady eye on him. But his patience wore thin, and he went straight over to America to play in the ISCO Championship. He had an entry in that, so he played the safe route and went to go and try and win the ISCO Championship, which, fair play to him. But I would have been staggered if, out of 156 players, whether one of them wouldn't have got... he could have held his ground and played in this, I'm sure. Different strokes for different folks.
Indeed. Both events co-sanctioned this week. The market then is headed by Scotty Scheffler, as big as 6-1 out there. We've got Rory in there, double figures, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick, Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, Ludwig's in there, as well as Chris Gotterup. It was the winner last year. Roll of Honour, he was 15 under par. 2024, Bobby Mack, 23, Rory, 22, Xander Schauffele, 21, Min Woo Lee. It's going to take a good one to win this one, Steve.
Yeah, Chris Gotterup is fascinating because I wondered why he put the John Deere Classic into his schedule. He obviously just really likes the John Deere Classic and likes attacking that golf course. But, it means he's going to be playing boom, 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 boom. He's going to be a tired boy come the end of the Open Championship. But, he's a fitter man than us, I guess.
Indeed, I'm sure he'll survive. Right, let's get to it then. Four selections. Who is Steve Palmer's main pick for the Scottish Open?
Tyrrell Hatton. I cannot believe the lack of respect that was being shown to Tyrrell Hatton, certainly in opening shows, and I think it's very much still the case. Yeah, this is one of the most likely title contenders, but easy to back at 33-1 on opening shows. This is a man made for low-scoring links tracks. We've seen him excel in the Dunhill Links Championship, Dave. He's won that event three times, and he's finished runner-up twice. Yeah, you put Tyrrell Hatton on an easy links in Scotland, and he's one of the most likely winners in the field. Short game, absolutely mustard. Form figures at the Renaissance, 14, 18, 24, 6. But it must be said, in the first three of those visits, he was coming off a missed cut, so he didn't arrive in great form. He was in decent form last year in his last visit and finished 6th. This time, arrives in really good heart. 3rd place in the Masters, 5th in Live Mexico City, victorious in Live Andalusia, and then 7th in the US Open last time out. Became a father at the end of May, you might remember. He's full of happiness, he's full of inspiration. Only 2 players outscored him in the final round of the US Open. And the Scottish Open has become a big event for Hatton, I'd say. This, as you say, co-sanctioned PGA Tour, DP World Tour event. Is Liv coming to an end? Possibly. The PGA Tour and the DP World Tour is where Hatton's going to want to play. Winning the Scottish Open will help in that regard. He hasn't got a full PGA Tour card at the moment because he's not allowed one, but he's allowed to play in this one because he's a DP World Tour member. It's so complicated. He's paid his fines, Dave. He's paid his fines. But I'd say when the dust settles at the end of this year, if Liv ends and suddenly the PGA Tour don't mind these guys coming back, I think winning the Scottish Open will help Hatton in the long term. So I think motivation is really high for Hatton. I think he's one of the most motivated players in this field. And like us, Dave, absolutely buzzing about the football. He's a big football fan, is Tyrrell. He's a big Liverpool fan. The kickoff time, you have to factor in the kickoff time on Saturday night. It's a 10 o'clock kickoff. So he's going to have a late night on Saturday night. But... the tee times in the Scottish Open are always ludicrously late. Honestly, the leaders in the Scottish Open go out so late at the weekends. It's basically the sun stays up in Scotland in the summer for like all night long. So yeah, he'll have a good lie in. The point is, he'll have a good lie in on Sunday morning if he's playing okay, which I expect him to.
Yeah, it seems a massive price. 33s. That's enormous.
Yeah, I was really excited. I mean, I had him down as one of the most likely winners of this golf tournament, and then he's priced up. I couldn't get my head around it. Yeah, so he's obviously been nibbled at quite rightly, but you know, low scoring links.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, Steve. I'm going to be a greedy Greg and just go for a bigger price as possible because he is a huge price. Huge price.
Do you go to Greg's the to get sausage rolls in there?
I'll try to stay out of there. That place is no good for you. No. I like the. I'll tell you what I like. I've not had one for quite a while because I'm trying to be good, but Yum Yums.
Oh, yeah.
They are the devil. Yum Yums are the. They are the devil, honestly.
I had two Yum Yums yesterday. I've actually seen someone attempt a Yum Yum eating world record. He's not with us any longer. My old friend Paul, God rest his soul, absolute legend. He attempted a world record at one of my parties. I used to have some spectacular parties in the good old days. And yeah, we bought like 50 packs of Yum Yums and just watched him go at it. And he just kept going. And we were there going, Yum Yum, Yum Yum, just cheering him on. That was like something.
What was the world record?
Well, we didn't know. He was trying to set the world record and send it to the Guinness guys. We would have needed an independent witness, to be fair, wouldn't he? But
really think that one through, did you?
For about 25 and then was physically sick.
I'm not surprised.
Those were the days, Dave. I don't know why we're talking about this, but I still like a Yum Yum. But I'm like you, I'm trying to get fitter. The wife bought me a Fitbit for my birthday.
Right, okay.
It's absolutely fascinating following that.
Get out on the golf course, Steve. Come on. Get walking around the golf course. We'll have
a
go.
I'll tell you something very interesting, and the punting community should be aware of this. Yeah, if you follow your heart rate on the Fitbit, when the golf's going on, when Guillemondo guy was missing a few putts on Saturday, I had a look and it had gone over 100. It was like the buzz of the golf betting game.
You're alive. That means you're alive.
Means you're alive. Yeah, I didn't fear the 110 reading or whatever it was. But it shows the excitement. It shows the excitement. So it's like when West Ham score a goal, your heart rate will be boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, thankfully it doesn't happen too often, so we're all right. It's okay. Right, we've got the main selection, Tyrrell Hatton, who I'm absolutely sold on already. Who is the next best?
Robert McIntyre, a Scotsman who obviously relishes this event. He was runner-up to Rory McIlroy in 2023, victorious in 2024. His last DP World Tour success came on another Scottish links in last year's Dunhill Links Championship. He beat Tyrrell Hatton in that tournament by 4 shots. Yeah, this is an ideal assignment for Bobby Mack. I think he'll give the Scottish galleries a title contender. Started this year really well, you might remember. 4th in the Sony Open, 4th in the Players' Championship, 2nd in the Texas Open. Then he had that difficult Masters. He became a bit of a villain with the American galleries. Long Masters hangover. Got back on track in the Canadian Open. When we chanced him in the Canadian Open, he finished 15th there, 39th in the US Open, and then 10th last time out in the Travelers Championship. Closed with a 65. He was absolutely thrilled that he could get home after that. You know, like Tyrrell Hatton, he's become a father this year. McIntyre's baby was born at the end of January, so he was so pleased after the Travellers that he could come back to Scotland. He's been changing nappies for a bit, and now is full focus for these 2 weeks. I've seen Robert McIntyre, his quotes, it's like full throttle for this fortnight. Then he's going to have a really long break. I don't know when we're going to see him again after the Open, but he's keen on having a long break. So he's got that carrot of the long break. He's going to put everything into this fortnight and then chill out for a bit. McIntyre's approach play and putting were excellent in the Travellers Championship. Approach play's been the bugbear this year. It was right on point in the Travellers. He'd be thrilled to have found some form with his irons going into the biggest fortnight of his season.
Be a very popular winner as well.
Very much so, yeah, very much so. He certainly won't be put off by the football on Saturday night. I mean, he'd
be probably driven by it, yeah.
Well, yeah, he'd be cheering on Norway, but Yeah. Bobby Mack is going to feature in the Scottish Open again.
Yeah, previous winner, of course, 2024. And he's a long way down the list as well, the pair of them. 33's slightly bigger available, Robert McIntyre. Right, 2 down, 2 to go for the Scottish Open. Who else, Steve?
Just applying some aqua to my forehead, Dave. The shed is heating up. We're in the middle of they're just starting a big heat wave again, aren't we? A little bit of H2O there. Yeah, John Parry. John Parry, absolutely enormous prices on John Parry. You'll have your same issue again. Are you going to be a greedy Greg? I mean, yeah, some of the quarter to five odds are massive. You know, take more places and get shorter. But John Parry is great value this week, I'd say. You know, he is 83rd in the FedEx Cup standings. Wow. You know, that is a superb effort for a PGA Tour rookie. He's a 39-year-old at the peak of his powers, enjoying a PGA Tour rookie campaign. You know, experienced, measured Yorkshireman, Dave. Yeah, you know, he reminds me of occasional sweet spot presenter Warren Ashurst. You know, an experienced, measured Yorkshireman. He won four times on the Challenge Tour in 2024 to resurrect his career. He won his first DP World Tour title in 2010, then his second DP World Tour title in 2024 in the Mauritius Open. So big, long gap between drinks, but I'd say Parry's a better player than he's ever been now. He finished 16th in the Open at Portrush last year. Shows his liking for links golf, shows how much he's improved. He got hole-in-one there, if I remember rightly. This season, just regularly banking healthy checks in the States. And his most impressive performance this season was last time out, Dave. He qualified for the US Open in a qualifier in Canada, and then in the US Open proper, finished 11th, Dave. Closed with a 69 at Shinnecock, pocketed a cheque of $405,000. I mean, this is a fella that was on the Euro Pro Tour 5 years ago. So Euro Pro Tour, 5 years later, on a US Open leaderboard. It's a magical story for John Parry. I see no reason why he can't get on this Scottish Open leaderboard. His short game's always been really strong. He finished 55th on his Renaissance debut last year, but then he was third in the Nexo Championship on a Scottish links a month later, and then third in the Dunhill Links Championship on Scottish links. He was third in the Dunhill Links in 2010, so he's always been effective on this type of terrain. Fifth in the Scottish Open in 2013 at Castle Stewart, another easy links track. So well equipped for this assignment. Never carried more self-belief than he has now. Massive each way value.
Nice. Yeah, I'm scrolling down. He's a long, long way down. The sort of bet that I would look for as many places as possible there.
Yeah.
And what price is he, Steve?
Well, 300, 275 to 1 for...
What sort of price would he be off the top of your head to kind of top 20s, that kind of bet as well? We like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can get 140 to 1, 12 places. I know that much.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm absolutely delighted to know that you think the 39-year-olds are at the peak of their powers as well. That's marvellous.
Is that where you are, David? Oh, gosh, you're going to have a big party in Greg's, aren't you, on your 40th?
Sausage rolls. Invite someone from the Guinness World Records and go for the Yum Yum Challenge. Maybe I'll go for a sausage roll challenge myself. Who knows?
See if you can do it.
Right. Are you telling me that the fourth selection's an even bigger price?
I'm not, but I'm telling you it's a very juicy price. And,
give it to me.
It's Tom McKibben, who grew up in Northern Ireland, of course, quickly learned how to play links golf. You know, lots of good amateur competition on links terrain. Won on the DP World Tour in 2023, earned a PGA Tour card for 2025, and then turned it down controversially to become a member of Legion 13. So he's been in John Rahm's team, been banking enormous checks from the team events every week. You know, McKibben's bank manager is happy. He's happy, actually. I saw an interview with him the other day. He's not bothered. He doesn't regret his decision to join LIV. You know, given what's happened, it's a question that needs asking. But you know, when he looks at his bank balance, he obviously feels good about life. It's a nice foundation for a young man to have a bank account that solid. He showed on the Asian Tour in November last year how amazing his A game is. You must remember that one, David. It broke my heart that we weren't on him that week, but he shot rounds of 60, 65, 65, 63, 27 under par, won the Hong Kong Open by 7 shots. You know, that top gear he's got is exceptionally good. This year it's been solid but unspectacular. 5th place in LIV Mexico has been his best result, but 25th last time out in the Italian Open. I thought that was quite encouraging. He's been chalked up as an also-ran. Yeah, we're talking about 150 to 1 chance this week. But well suited to the assignment. He's finished in the top 15 in the Dunhill Links twice. And if that A game comes out this week, then make a mockery of that prize.
What has he been up to in recent months?
Light schedule. Didn't play the BMW.
I don't recall seeing too much of him, yeah.
No, Italian Open was his last one, so he's been playing all the LIV events. finishing around 20th, and then 25th in the Italian Open. But I just think he's going to step up again. He's playing in the Open. That Hong Kong Open win got him in the Open, so he's got a big fortnight ahead of him. I'm expecting McKibben to feature in both events.
Okay, nice big juicy prices there. Okay, we like that. I think I'll go for as many places as possible on him as well. If he's that big, 150s, that is enormous. Yeah, it's out there, 150s, marvellous. Right, who else shall we discuss then, Steve? This is a star-studded market, isn't it? We'll start with the jolly, as big as 6-1 in a place, Scotty Scheffler. What's his record like round here?
Course form of 12, miscut, 3-8. So he had a nice warm-up in this last year and then won the Open the following week.
Yeah.
You know, most Open winners these days play in the Scottish Open, you know, loosen up in the Scottish Open the previous week. You know, the Open winners have got a great record of playing in the Scottish Open. Scheffler's gone 13 tournaments without a win now. So
he's gone at the game.
Well, the point is he might be more motivated for the Scottish Open than he usually is. He'd be very keen to stop the rot. He'd like to stop the rot before his Open title defence. But this is going to be a low-scoring week. It's important to putt well. You know, his mind will inevitably wander to the Open title defence, I'd say. And any practice rounds he's been having since he's come over to these shores will probably have been at Royal Birkdale. I don't think he'd have any interest in having a practice round at Renaissance. I think he just, if he was over here, he'd concentrate.
It's all about next week.
Yeah, I just think a player of that level would not care about Renaissance practice rounds, and I think he would have been at Birkdale practicing there. So, I can avoid Scheffler at short prices, and it's the same deal with McIlroy, who I know has been practicing at Birkdale. He really fancies his chances. It's one of his favourite Open venues, is Birkdale. And McIlroy massively on my radar for next week. But I think for this week, it's just a gentle loosener. You know, he never used to like this course. He disliked this course when it first became the host. Said it was too easy. Said it was poor preparation for the Open. He's developed an affection. They've done lots of tweaking of this course through the years. Rory seems to like it a lot more than he did. I mean, he won the event in 2023. He was second last year. But I just got it in my head that this is a gentle loosener. You saw him at Wimbledon the other day in his green jacket. I think he's just building the engine for Birkdale. I think his focus is Birkdale. Yeah, you can test out clubs. Yeah, these days, the amount of new clubs that go in the bag, it's hard for me to keep a handle on it, but they're always fiddling with their equipment. And I think he's going to be perhaps testing a few new clubs, testing a few shots. You know, this is a links warm-up for the Open Championship. I just don't have enough conviction that McIlroy will be busting the gut for Scottish Open victory, whereas my team will.
Yeah, I like that, the motivation. Wouldn't it be amazing to just kind of know players' schedules, where they've been practicing, what they've been doing, how many holes they've been playing, all that kind of thing? It'd be incredible.
Yeah, well, I try and keep a handle on it through the social media.
I
know that Rory McIlroy played in Cornwall the other day. He turned up, he shocked the members at St Enoch in Cornwall, a links track in Cornwall. I don't know what they're doing down there. I know Luke Donald actually likes... Luke Donald loves going to Cornwall. I've seen
the
Luke
cheddar.
Donald.
There must be some cheddar down there in Cornwall.
Maybe there's some cheddar. Maybe just like pasties. maybe just Luke Donald's a pasties fan. But I remember in the build-up to the Ryder Cup when I was obsessing about Luke Donald's movements and trying to get a handle on who he's going to pick for the Ryder Cup. He was in Cornwall a lot, so I think he just likes going there. And I think he's told Rory and Shane Lowry was there to come and have a little practice around here, get your links engine rolling. Donald, Lowry, McIlroy were in Cornwall last week. Testing their links games, but it's a strange place to go, isn't it? It's a long way away from the Renaissance Club, but not for me. The market principle's not for me.
When you mentioned the kind of live angle for the likes of Hatton and McKibben, I thought that was a really good point. What of Jon Rahm?
Yeah, Jon Rahm. Yeah, you
know, co-sanctioned event.
Yeah, well, on LIV, he's just consistently on the leaderboard, nearly winning every time he tees up. But when he's gone to other events, obviously missed the cut at the Masters. Really inconsistent when it comes to, missed the cut at Shinnecock. I don't trust him when he's got elite company around him now. Yeah, I think right. Mentally, I think he's got a lot of difficulties between the ears. You know, he'll have a media conference this week. And that won't be a comfortable one with the amount of questions coming his way. You know, can you get out your contract, John? Can you get out your contract, John? We're going to keep asking you. If you just admit you can't, and if you get out your contract, you're in Yeah, you got some shady characters that are going to. Yeah, there's a lot going on in John Rahm's head. So I can do without him.
Okay, right. I've three more. You can just quickly sort of give a line or two on each of these then. Fitzpatrick, Schauffele, and Fleetwood.
Fitzpatrick's got a surprisingly bad Lynx record, actually. I mean, you know, Dunhill Lynx he's done all right, but his open record is really disappointing. I never have a huge urge to back Fitzpatrick on Lynx terrain. Doesn't really make sense why he doesn't. It's a surprisingly bad Lynx record. Who was the other one you say, Dave?
Well, Schauffele and Fleetwood.
Schauffele, oh, blimey.
It's a stacked field. It is a stacked field.
Yeah. I haven't got Jan de Schauffele on my phone case anymore. The wife got me a new one for my birthday. But Schauffele's won this before. But short game problems, you know, his chipping has been really bad, and I think that's really important this week. So, yeah, I'd worry about Schauffele around these greens the way he's been performing lately. He's getting so hot in the shed now. Fleetwood, blimey. He was down at Wimbledon with Rory. You had Justin Rose, Fleetwood, Donald, McIlroy enjoying the tennis. Fleetwood plays Lynx golf really well. Yeah, you can't rule out Fleetwood. I just prefer my guys. You know, if it's Hatton or Fleetwood going down the stretch, I'd back Hatton to hold the putts.
Well, with some firms, Fleetwood's half the price of Hatton, which is incredible.
Yeah. No, Hatton just leaps off the page as an outstanding value wager. I just can't get my head around it. Why is that low down?
Right, okay, let's move on then, because we've got another co-sanctioned event, the ISCO Championship, Steve. Formerly known as the Barbasol. Where are we in the world? And talk to us about the track.
We are at Hurstbourne Country Club, Louisville, Kentucky. 7,056 yards, par 70, 2 par 5s, 12 par 4s, 4 par 3s. Hurstbourne took over as tournament venue for the first time last year. Short, tree-lined, relies on water hazards and small greens to keep scoring in check. 10 under par was the winning score last year, despite William Meow firing a fine around. he was the cat that got the cream last year, Dave, because he finished with a fine around 61 for a maiden PGA Tour title. So, so it's a strange course, this. You know, you've got Meow shooting 61s, but only 10 under par won it. So sunny, hot, thundery weather is forecast. Gentle breezes throughout. I call this a short, fiddly layout. Accurate approaches required. Smart scrambling around these small greens.
I was going to mention the scrambling. Scrambling stats very prominent last year.
Yes, Dave. Yeah, that's very important skill to have. A field of 144 going to post. Place your bets by noon UK time on Thursday.
Okay, noon. And here, William Meow. Of course, the winner last year, Harry Hall, Vincent Norman, 24 and 23 winners. Market then, Jackson Koivun is our market leader, being backed this week, as is Max Homer, second in, Davis Thompson, Christian Bezuidenhout, Ben Coles is up there, Stephen Yeager. We've got four picks in the Scottish Open. How many in the ISCO?
Just three in this one, Dave.
Okay, 12. Each way doubles then. If you want to play, who is the main selection?
Max Homer. Keeping the faith, Dave. I think he's becoming a serious golfer again. He's come through the worst of the slump. He was 22nd at Colonial after closing with a 67. Then he narrowly missed out on US Open qualifying at the Canadian qualifier. Then he carded four rounds in the 60s for 20th place in the Canadian Open. Then he closed with a 64 on Sunday for second place at TPC Deer Run. You know, strong across all departments, as I mentioned. Bonding nicely with this new caddy. I think John Ellis and him is going to be an alliance which will stick together for a long time. He was 5 under par for his last 7 holes last week, Dave. Coming with a late rattle, like those greyhounds that you like to back. I thought he was going to get there. He just fell one shy. But lovely tempo to his swing. I think he's going to contend in a similar grade this week. A weaker event, if anything, this week. Course debutant, but I think he'll love it. There's no need to get the driver out. He loves it in his 3-wood off the tee. He can do that all week. This is a 6-time PGA Tour champion, former world number 5, former Ryder Cup star. Got back in the world's top 100 on Sunday, Dave. He'll be pleased with that. Big fish, small pond, the highest ranked player in the field, Dave. I think he's going to complete the comeback with some ISCO glory.
That does surprise me, highest ranked player in the field. Sorry,
ninth,
not because
in the
of...
Masters. I mean, he's turning up in the Masters and playing well still, even during the slump. He's a big time player. I mean, you remember the Ryder Cup performance at the.
Well, I was going to ask you about the slump. Where, for those that don't know, where has he been? You know, because he was, you know, Ryder Cup teams, a big name,
cheddar,
big player.
Chasing the cheddar, as you call it, Davies. He signed for Cobra, and Cobra gave him a fortune to use their clubs. And he's at the peak of his powers. It's a big decision. It was an error. I'm sure he would admit privately that was an error. Now, and then he started blaming coaches and caddies, and there's been a lot going on. But I like the way he was talking last week. The interview afterwards, you can tell that the confidence is returning. His focus is back. He's not messing around on the Twitter. I mean, I don't mess around on the Twitter. That's why I get focused, Dave. He got distracted with that. He become a Twitter superstar. What do you want to be, a Twitter superstar or a golfing superstar? I love the fact he's not really getting involved usually on the social medias now. I think Homer will be back contending for big events again soon.
Nice. Okay, he's as big as 18's out. They're being back this week as well. Not surprising after last week's run. Who is the second pick then for you, Steve?
I hope this is not going to affect the technical side of things. And if producer Bell thinks I'm taking too big a gamble, she should leap on and tell me now. I'm going to pour some water over my head, Dave.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, the microphone's there, the computer's there. All it'll go on is my crotch, which won't cause any real problems. There we go. I was getting so hot in here, mate. That really needed to be done. The heat wave is dangerous, isn't it? I've got a dog in there. I better go and check on my dog in a minute. The next best, Christian Bezuidenhout. Christian Bezuidenhout, another neat and tidy operator. He'll love the dimensions of this week's layout. Approach play and putting were excellent in the John Deere Classic last week. I don't know if you noticed him, Dave, because he only crept onto the leaderboard very late. Closed with a 65 for 12th place. He's been superb in this grade of event this season, Dave. He was 8th in the Puerto Rico Open, 6th in the Myrtle Beach Classic. Seems to know the importance of these opposite field events. You know, when there's a big event going on, the Scottish Open, and you've got these opposite field events, Bezuidenhout would like to think, last year he was playing in the Scottish Open. He's good enough to be in the proper events, but he takes his chance when he's in the opposite field events and he banks those FedEx Cup points. So Bezuidenhout will get back on track. You've got Homer on the comeback trail. Bezuidenhout, to a lesser extent, is on the comeback trail. And this looks a wonderful opportunity. We're talking about three-time DP World Tour champion, Dave. His maiden win, you might remember, came at Valderrama. A short tree-line track. We got a short tree-line track this week. Still a PGA Tour maiden, but he's come close. He's twice finished second. I think his moment may have come. I can see Homer and Bezuidenhout. This is a big call because they're going to have a massive July and a massive August to get there. But they've both played in the last two President's Cups on opposite sides.
Yeah.
I can see Homer and Bezuidenhout having a great July and August, and then perhaps getting wild card picks for the President's Cup, which is in September.
Okay, I like it. Listen, never change, Steve. You're not wired up the same as the rest of us. Just stay away from the electricals, right? Next time you do that, okay?
I think that was a good gamble. I think it's paid off.
Okay, right. Bezuidenhout is the second pick. Who is the third pick?
Third and final, Mackenzie Hughes, who played against Homer in the singles of the last President's Cup. Mackenzie Hughes, a two-time champion on the PGA Tour. The 2022 Sanderson Farms is his last victory. Similar grade event to this one. Hurstbourne Country Club looks a good fit for him. Strong short game. If you want your short game to get better, Dave, copy Mackenzie Hughes. He's consistently good on and around the greens. Closed with a 66 at Deer Run on Sunday. I think that could prove a springboard to big things. The putter absolutely purring on Sunday. He was the number one putter in the field in the final round of the John Deere Classic, holing everything. He was 10th at Colonial at the end of May, and that was another short game masterclass. The length of Hurstbourne takes pressure off his ball striking. He can tickle his way around this course, leave the driver in the bag. Like Homer, you won't see Mackenzie Hughes hitting many drivers. Just tickle it around, let your short game class make the score. So, I had only three. Yeah, it's a field of 144 this week for the ISCO. I had any interest in it. I had no interest in backing any of the others. Unless you could tell me that Jackson Koivunen is 100% fit, then I'd be interested in him. But I don't think you can tell me that, Dave.
I'm afraid I can't. No, I can't. I'll tell you whether tape has been applied or not to Jackson Koivunen.
If he was fully fit, If he was fully fit, Dave, you'd be massively interested because he finished sixth in this last year, despite opening with a 73.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's tailed off, and then he's outscored everybody in the field over the final three rounds.
That's got me really worried.
Yeah. I understand you. Yeah, but this is shoulder and neck concerns. It's a terribly timed injury, Dave. I feel so sorry for the lad. It reminds me a bit of Justin Sir. You might remember Justin Sir, former world number one amateur, burst onto the scene in 2019 and with a big reputation. I was really excited about Justin Sir. And then he developed a wrist injury straight after turning professional and was missing cuts left, right and centre. And Justin Sir has never really realised his full potential. I do worry that Jackson Coivin, I don't think this is as serious as a wrist injury. It's just a shoulder and back. Hopefully he can get back, but it's heartbreaking for the lad that his big moment has come. Turn professional, he's got these run of events.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I feel for you, Jackson.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Listen, he might end up trying too hard, trying to overcome that adversity as well. So he's certainly a vulnerable favourite anyway, let's put it that way. He could win by 10 shots, but he won't be carrying our money with any sort of injury concern. That's not the way to go.
That's it, yeah. You can't risk hard-earned on a potentially injured golfer at short prices.
Okay, right. That is that then. Anyone that was close to the shortlist, Steve? You seem quite confident with your three.
No. On that tournament, absolutely not. No, just very, very happy with my three. In the Scottish, as I say, Jacob Skov-Olesen was massively on my radar, and then he decided to not play the waiting game, which I think was silly because someone could get ill and in. 156 players, you just need one of them to get injured or ill over the next 3 days. He's a great links player. I think he'll end up regretting that, but he won't if he goes and wins the ISCO Championship. But yeah, no one else of interest in that one. So no, I'm comfortable with mistaken plan. Very much looking forward to the golf. Very much looking forward to the football.
Where will you be viewing the football?
10 p.m. kickoff, isn't it? So again,
that's very friendly kickoff. That is very friendly.
Well, my kids need an earlier bedtime than that. I
don't know. Not on a Saturday night, Steve. They don't.
Yeah, true. Well, yeah. The honest answer is I don't know yet. I'm going to see how the kids are performing. Yeah, Grace got so worked up during the rerun of the last match in the morning there. I've never seen her get so aggressive. Normally my daughter is really sort of relaxed and much more chilled out than any other member of the family.
Well, get her a Fitbit? Get her one of them. See how she's getting on.
she was not happy with some of the decisions that referee was making. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to beat Norway, aren't we? I mean, not many people have made this point. The fact that Erling Haaland is English and wants England to win. He's born in Leeds.
Yeah.
Erling Haaland.
His dad,
He's born in Leeds. He's a proud Yorkshireman. He's like Wazir Ashurst. He's a proud Yorkshireman who wants England to win.
Steve Palmer questions integrity of Erling Haaland. That could be the strap line for this show.
Yeah, so I think we'll beat Norway, but then I think obviously it's going to get tougher from there. I mean, what do you make of Argentina, Dave? If Messi gets injured, they're in big
trouble. They are gritty, aren't they? They are gritty.
Yeah, they're just a one man band, though, really, aren't they? Like, the rest of the team's just functional. But then, yeah, you could say the same about us, couldn't you? I mean, we're a two man band. I'm just excited, Dave. Yeah, this is one of the. I love a massive summer football tournament, and I just desperately hope it doesn't distract me from the Open Championship, because
you'll be fine. As much many thoughts on that yet, Steve? It's obviously next week.
The Open, yeah. I mean, Rory McIlroy was my long term fancy for the Open, and I'm massively on McIlroy watch this week. I mean, I'm not backing him for the Scottish Open, but I'll be keeping a beady eye on him. We'll make those decisions over the weekend, Dave. McIlroy's in my mind.
Okay, well, let's say McIlroy has a good spin in Scotland, I think prices as big as 10-1 might shorten slightly, mightn't they, next week?
Yeah, McIlroy's exciting. Obviously, he's got no football distractions, has he? He doesn't really care what happens. What about the
Arrows, Steve? Anything happening in the Arrows? Always keen to pick your brain on the darts. What's going on?
I think there's a week event taking place this weekend. I haven't looked at it yet. There's so much going on, but yeah, I think there's a European Tour event going on this weekend, and then the match play's coming up after that. So, I will have a little look at the match play. But you can't focus on all of it, Dave.
No.
Sometimes darts has to fall by the wayside, and this is one of those occasions. Hopefully in the next sweet spot we do, the Open Championship sweet spot, England will still be in the World Cup.
Yeah, I'll have the three lines on, mate, if we are, for sure.
Yeah, because then it's a Wednesday semi-final, 8 p.m. kickoff for the Wednesday semi-final. I'm doing something that we shouldn't be doing, and Thomas Tuchel will not be telling these. But if we get through, it's an 8 p.m. semi-final, and then it's an 8 p.m. final on the Sunday of the Open Championship. There's so much going on, Dave. You've got to stay cool and calm. I'll be putting a few more pints of water over my head as this day goes on.
Okay, just stay away from the electricals, please do. Right, Steve, two tournaments this week. Remind us of your selections then. We'll start with the Scottish Open.
Tyrrell Hatton, Robert McIntyre, John Parry and Tom McKibben.
And remind us of the bet by time there.
7:15 a.m. UK time, yeah, yes.
Early start Thursday. And the ISCO Championship.
Max Homer, Christian Bezuidenhout, Mackenzie Hughes.
Marvellous. Right, go well this week. Stephen, you out there, go well as well. Do get involved with us here on the Sweet Spot. We want to hear from you. Who are you backing this week? Is it coming home, I suppose? And who do you fancy next week as well? Because we will be back to preview the big one, the Open Championship. Gamble responsibly, enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next week.